Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Welcome once again, all of my critically thinking vagabonds. Well, we're definitely in some very, very dangerous times right now. And I mean, we could have said that any number of moments over the last so many years, probably since the beginning of this country and the beginning of time. But today, specifically, we're in a very, very dangerous time right now where it seems that propaganda is getting ramped up to a point never before seen. Very similar to what I began talking about yesterday. But what I touched on in length in one of my longer research and review shows recently was this idea that we're looking at a time where on either side of the false two-party paradigm, we are essentially seeing people pushed in such extreme depths to either side of the false two-party dichotomy to the point to where they're coming full circle back around, back into the arms of the state without even realizing it. So emotionally outraged and manipulated by the propaganda we're seeing that it's completely circumventing their logic to the point where he can't even acknowledge the facts at hand if it contradicts what they are told to believe by the talking heads within their side of the fake arguments. And especially today, we're seeing that with the Trump-Putin summit, which I'm not going to even get into again today. But the reality of all of that is so disconnected from reality. The things that they're stating, in comparing it to Pearl Harbor, and like it's today's 9/11, and these things that almost in a weird way draw parallel to the fact that they're very clearly trying to establish yet another reason to maintain this alarm, you know, emergency state of the country, where essentially we are, you know, they increase the surveillance state and they continue to remove our rights under the guise of the fact that we're in danger. Everyone needs to be fearful of the country that's continuing to spend less on its military and continuing to do less and less around the world as in regard to military, in regards to how the United States is putting bases everywhere and invading other countries. Yet Russia seems to be the threat in this manipulation that we're seeing. And it's very dangerous, because people will simply recoil from anything that speaks opposite of that, even with facts and information, and people like you in the chat today that are critically analyzing even what I'm saying and possibly disagreeing with what I'm saying. That kind of thing makes their head explode. They can't even fathom how can you not take part in this divide? And that's exactly the point, is that people who are able to stand back and disconnect themselves from this very elaborate but almost cartoonish divide that you can see once you're outside of it, those are the people that don't make sense to them. But that's why people like you need to continue to spread this information, need to continue to plant those seeds every single day as best you can without putting yourself in danger, obviously. But we're in this dangerous time. It's important for all of us to continue to put these things out there. And a lot of the topics, as always, that I discuss, pretty much everything I'm going to get into today, are things that you won't hear because of all of this noise, because of all this manipulation taking place. And I would argue that that's exactly the point. So for the first article of the day, before I get into the articles, I forgot I wanted to touch on something that I found. Well, I guess it is an article, but very interesting thing I came across today. It's actually a Gallup poll, which take that for what you will. It's not, shouldn't be taken as gospel. Nothing really should. But it has to do with the Russian narrative. And it turns out, and this is an article from Zero Hedge, entitled Gallup Shows How Much Americans Really Care About the Situation with Russia. Now, one would think, based on all that we're seeing, all the media hype and rhetoric and social media outrage, that everybody's so concerned with the fear about Russia. But actually, it turns out that's not the case, which I found pretty interesting. I mean, I could have probably said as much, but it turns out that it's actually the opposite of what they're saying. And first, what that represents, and what we mostly should know by now, is that the media, the establishment media, represents a very small percentage of the people in this country. If we could, you know, if one of many things we saw during the 2016 election, the reality that this media preaches to a very small elite circles, and they you know, yammer amongst themselves about how important these things are, thinking and showing again that they don't care what the average person has to say. They care about pushing their narrative. But this Gallup poll ultimately shows, when the people were asked what the most important problem facing the nation is, Russia did not even warrant 1% of this data poll. And worse yet, it's actually declining. Or rather, I would say better yet, it's actually declining in importance from there as it goes forward. One journalist even noted, quote, the percentage of Americans saying the situation with Russia is the most important problem is literally too small to represent with a number. Now think about that. Think about what that means in the context of all of this, you know, mass hysteria, that this is not the truth. It should show us yet again that, you know, understanding the Smith Modernization Act and the fact that propaganda is allowed to be used on American people by the government, that's what we're seeing. We're seeing that in action. The NDA 2016, I believe, they're really legalizing propaganda on American citizens. That's what we're witnessing today. Because clearly the American people in at large don't actually think this is that important. I find that very interesting. Again, Gallup poll could be manipulated, anything could, but I tend to agree with what that's saying. So as always, do your own research, and you'll probably find that similar when you ask most people on the ground. So today we have Comey saying that anyone voting anything other than Democrat is un-American, just discounting what, independents, anybody else, just anybody but Democrats, un-American, blanket statement. If that's not propaganda, I don't know what is. Now we also have members of Congress calling essentially the unproven, unverified claims of supposed Russian hacking, which didn't happen, an act of war, and calling for an open retaliation cyber attack against Russian banks. These very people that are supposed to represent the people who just voted in that show they don't care about this, those people are supposed to represent us, are in turn actually calling for an act of war against Russia. I mean, how much more do we need to see that these people do not care about what we think? It's an alarming prospect. But it's very important to kind of wrap your mind around that, even for us, how little they actually represent the people, if at all. I think most of us are pretty well established with that concept, but hopefully, as always, there's one person in this today that's just happened to glance away from the mainstream media propaganda, and maybe we can shave them away, add one more to the realm of reality here yet again. So keep all that in mind. Now let's get on to some of the stories that are actually going on today that are not getting covered for the most part that are very important. I keep going back a little bit. There's another story that relates to this that I found very important that I guess we can start with this as one of the articles also coming from ZeroHedge.com entitled FBI Chief Threatens to Quit If Trump Invites Russian Agents to U.S. Which is just honestly just kind of made me laugh because it's, you know, what, like a petulant child. This is the FBI chief saying, oh, I'm going to quit. Take my ball and go home if you even invite those Russian spies to the U.S. It's just a parody. These people are a parody of themselves. As if you would have gone back 10 years, 15 years, and made an SNL skit about the extreme versions of the left-right paradigm. What they are today is what you would have made them out to be 10 years ago. It's like they're literally a parody of themselves today, and it's quite humorous. But this story, ultimately, Christopher Wray dismissed Russian President Vladimir Putin's offer for U.S. law enforcement agents to travel to Russia and interview the subjects of last week's DOJ indictment, saying literally, quote, that's not high on our list of investigative techniques. Oh, sorry, Wray, so investigating the people that you're lobbing these accusations at is not part of your techniques? You'd rather just lob unverified accusations at people and then never talk to them? I mean, it's ridiculous. Clearly he's saying, oh, we don't go to Russia to do that. But the point is, aside from all this Russia hysteria, going there to interview them, it should be exactly what they want to do. It's a joke. The point is, they want nothing to do with that because they know those indictments are complete BS. They were used to basically undercut the Trump-Putin summit and used to continue to foment the kind of the overwhelming Russia-phobia that we're seeing in this 1% that's talking about it incessantly. Very interesting. And the fact that he threatened to quit if Trump overrode that is just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. And it shows you that regardless of what you think of Donald Trump, you know how I feel about him. The point is that regardless, he is the president of the United States, and this is the FBI chief literally saying, we don't care what you say, we're going to do what we want. Now, if that doesn't align with what we're seeing with all of these hearings with Strzok and all of this, I don't know what does. They try to claim that Comey and McCabe, those are just isolated events. No, very clearly not. They're very partisan and very politicized. Very frustrating, but it's all like that. This is all one big ridiculous political theater and everyone fighting for their own little small slice of something, and they don't give a crap about the average people, which is what their entire job is supposed to be about. Very interesting. Okay, so now let's get into some of the stories that you're not going to see anywhere else, as you probably wouldn't see any of those in the mainstream media either. Of course not, because I'm not going to discuss how most people don't care about what 99% of their discussion points are, even on Fox today. Even on Fox, on the other side, they're openly talking about basically Russiagate today. How, well, Trump's not included, but yet Russia hacked the election. It's crazy. So first story coming from theantimedia.com, entitled, also very important, leaked Netanyahu tape. We made Trump quit the Iran nuclear deal. Thank you, full-time geek. Backyard brawl is more real than AIDS. I appreciate that. I'll always read the super chats. Feel free and throw them out. Now, this is an interesting story that is, of course, this is going to get nowhere near the mainstream media, but a very important one nonetheless, because it highlights a lot of interesting concepts, whether you're talking about the connections with Israel to the United States or Netanyahu to Trump, or more importantly, the Iran nuclear deal and what that actually means. It's a very interesting case. Now, on Tuesday, video footage was leaked showing Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu boasting that he had personally convinced President Trump to abandon the Iran nuclear deal. Personally. The statements were made at a small dinner where he addressed senior members of his party. The video aired by Israel's Khan News shows Netanyahu enthusiastically praising his and his party's leadership efforts, saying, quote, "We convinced the U.S. president to exit the deal, and I had to stand up against the whole world and come out against this agreement, and we didn't give up." Clearly, he's talking about his little, you know, song and dance with the discs and all the information that was basically debunked as old information, nothing ultimately new, by many different reputable people. And obviously, there's nothing there new, and it's been verified many different times that Iran was completely compliant with the deal. That's what he's implying, though. Basically, his little created drama about finding all this fake information, or rather presenting it as real, was what he meant. He had to stand up and get in front of the world and basically lie to everybody so he could manipulate Donald Trump into doing what he wanted. According to the two-way translation of the Prime Minister's words by the Times of Israel, he further argues that, quote, "The Iranian regime will disappear with the help of God." In the words of one of his supporters, to which Netanyahu adds, "You said it, from your mouth to God." Now, again, just very clearly that they want to, it's not just about making things safe for everybody as the United States continues to force down everybody's throats. Oh, we need to worry about the Iranian people. It's about humanitarianism. No, they want to annihilate Iran. They want they want to get rid of them in general, and they want to put in place the MEK terrorist group. That's the plan, essentially, with the help of the United States. And this is what they're saying. They will make the regime disappear with the help of God. You said it, from your mouth to God. That's from Netanyahu's own mouth. Just very clearly gives you insight to what they're actually trying to accomplish. Like I point out many, many times, as the member of parliament from Ireland pointed out with all of his, 25 different statements about Netanyahu's current administration, saying that Palestinians are less than people. They should kill their entire families. I mean, these are just open statements. But you don't hear this kind of stuff. This is how they actually feel about Iran, about Palestine. It's horrifying. Earlier this summer, it was confirmed that a high-level joint U.S.-Israeli working group under the oversight of National Security Advisor John Bolton, oh, big surprise, had been meeting for months with the goal of facilitating regime change in Tehran. Well before all this started happening, as Axios reported, quote, "Israel and the United States formed a joint working group a few months ago that is focused on internal efforts to encourage protests within Iran and pressure the country's government." Look at that. A blatant statement to encourage protests within Iran, as they point to them after the fact and say, oh, look, an organic uprising. We need to help the people. As they more than once have stated that they're, I mean, Rudy Giuliani is on record saying basically the same thing. But those things aren't organic. That's part of we're doing that, essentially, to paraphrase what he said in front of the MEK. Very interesting. The point is they know that this won't get very much at all attention from the mainstream media. So people like us were screaming this from the mountaintops, but a lot of people won't ever hear this. And if they hear us talk about it, a lot of them will shrug it off and say that probably didn't happen because they're brainwashed by the mainstream media. The reality here is that they're openly fomenting unrest within the people to create the situation to go in and regime change Iran. That is the plan. It has been for a very long time. Verifiably so. Simply do your due diligence. It's quite obvious. It's very clear that Netanyahu has the White House's ear in all of this. on Iran specifically. And that shouldn't really be a big surprise to all of us. That ultimately Netanyahu is, and I would say more than the White House, clearly Bolton is a lackey in all of this for the Israeli Zionist agenda. But the reality here is that Donald Trump is being played for this agenda, if not completely involved in all of it. Either way you look at it, it's not working the way that Trump supporters truly think it should or want it to. Very clearly, they forced Donald Trump into, or rather manipulated him into doing what they want, which is ultimately to create a situation for regime change in Iran. Very clearly. Very profound here, but people hopefully can take note of this, research this for yourselves, go out and spread the word, because this directly contradicts what the mainstream media, what the White House, what they're saying about the entire concept of Iran. Moving on to the next story, coming from mintpressnews.com, entitled, Israel Suspends Fuel Deliveries to Gaza Strip as Tensions Continue to Mount. Now, I've actually got three stories about Israel today, big surprise. This one specifically is one that's kind of a follow-up. I touched on this a while ago, a couple days ago. And I wanted to follow up on this because this one, it's a great, as always, an excellent article by Whitney Webb. And it really highlights what this means and what this is leading to. And obviously, I'm going to touch on some of the more breaking stories from today, which other people have already been covering, but are very important to discuss and get the word out. Now, amid speculation that Israel is set to target the Gaza Strip in yet another war, which we also just recently touched on. The concept that they're basically, you know, ready for all-out, full-scale war against Gaza, which is just ridiculous when you understand the dynamics there. Israeli Defense Minister Avigdor Lieberman has announced that Israel will suspend transfer of gas and fuel to Gaza through the Kerem Shalom crossing until next Sunday. But that transfers of food and medicine would continue by, quote, a case-by-case basis. Which I'm sure we just take their word for that. The Kerem Shalom crossing is the only checkpoint used to transfer goods across the Israel-Gaza border. The restriction on fuel and gas deliveries is likely to hit Gaza particularly hard, given that Israel destroyed the Strip's only power plant in 2014. See, all these little tidbits you don't really know about when you listen to the mainstream narrative. And Israel's ongoing naval blockade of Gaza has made the rebuilding of the plant basically impossible. Of course, that was part of the plan. Since last July, electricity was available only between 2 and 4 hours each day, which I know a lot of you were already aware of, but just think about that for those that weren't. Electricity today in this massive, massive area, only 2 to 4 hours each day. That's crazy when you really realize what they're doing and that they don't want you to know this kind of stuff. These people are in an open air prison. There's no way to misunderstand that when you see all the facts. The suspension of gas and fuel imports from Israel will likely exacerbate the area's chronic fuel and electricity shortage even further. The Israeli government had previously announced in May that the crossing would remain closed until Israel had been reimbursed for damages to the border fence and surrounding areas following recent protests in Gaza against the blockade and during the Great March of Return. During those demonstrations, of course, the Israeli Defense Forces shot over 6,000 unarmed demonstrators and killed hundreds of demonstrators, as well as medics and journalists, as we've covered in depth. Yet they won't allow them to get their necessities unless they reimburse them for the damages done while they were murdering them all. Seems logical. In addition, Lieberman, who recently asserted that there are, quote, no innocent people, which the U.S. refused to acknowledge during a press briefing, basically would not even acknowledge that there are actually women and children that live in this area, but there's no innocent people in Gaza. That's what they force. Also stated that Israel would tighten its naval blockade of Gaza from 6 to 3 nautical miles off the Gaza coast, a move aimed at restricting the movements of Gaza fishermen. Of course, not just the fishermen, but restricting their access to food in general. But the absurd concept of this is they say from 6 to 3 nautical miles, but the reality is that they already don't allow that most of the time. People have been shot going out a mile. So it's all a big joke. But they're just making it, Gazans are already aware that if they go out at all, most of the times, they're going to get potentially shot. So hearing that it's going to restrict them down to 3 miles, now they're wondering if they can go out at all, most likely. And they probably already do. We already talked about the person who tried to go out for medical aid and they pulled them back and forced them back into their prison. It's crazy. And this is what we're seeing. This is a dramatic human rights violation. This is a huge epidemic of just ultimate, I mean, I continue to call it a genocide because that's what it is. These people are being wildly abused, and it's seemingly the people that are supposed to care about this internationally are not doing anything about it. A lot of people speak out, but very few seem to be doing anything about it. Hamas slammed the restriction of fuel as a crime against humanity, which it certainly is, while the UN and human rights groups criticized the move as a form of collective punishment. See, the UN group and human rights, they criticize the move, but don't do anything about it. You know, really calls into question what they're really trying to accomplish and who they're really working for. But the reality is they're calling it out, which they never even used to before. But now clearly they're saying it's bad. But when we can see all these people calling it what it is and nobody does anything about it, it shows you the fact that the United States has a dramatic amount of pull in regard to what actually happens in the world stage. Of course, the IDF chief has suggested, unfortunately and ridiculously, that the ongoing and impending military action against Gazan civilians and its infrastructure would somehow improve the daily lives of the Strip's inhabitants. He literally had the nerve to say that. That the ongoing massacre of their population is somehow designed to improve their daily lives. It's ridiculous. There are even people now in the media within Israel claiming that all of this, the reality of their daily lives in Gaza, is some kind of a hoax. I promise you, that's what they're saying now. Some of them anyway. Saying that this is a hoax. All of this designed to draw finances and humanitarian aid that Israel stops anyway for Hamas. All of it's a big hoax, despite all of the researchers, Vanessa Beeling and Eva Bartlett, people that have been there and seen the horrible things going on. The fact that they get no electricity every day. But it's all a big hoax. That's what they're claiming. It's ridiculous, despite the fact that many good people have pointed out that Israel's even using the humanitarian aid coming in for Palestinians for their own benefit. And the money going to them and used for their infrastructure instead of actually helping Palestinians. But of course, even uttering that phrase will potentially get the video struck down, which maybe this will. But it's the truth. It's disgusting to see. Let's move on to the next story. Another one involving Israel that's also equally frustrating, coming from MiddleEastEye.com. Interestingly enough, I had to use the anti-media page because the story, for some reason, was not allowing me to view it online. Very interesting, saying the site was insecure and not secure. And then even when I clicked on it, it wouldn't let me look at it. Not very surprising, as this is a very big story today, entitled Israel Passes Nation-State Law Enshrining Jewish Supremacy. Something that many people have argued is not even the case, but now they're very clearly enshrining it into law. So very interesting. There's like an entire effort to make the reality of what's going on in Israel and Palestine not the reality on paper, even though now they just wrote this into law. Very interesting. Now, Israel passed a law today giving Jews supremacy over all non-Jewish Israeli citizens, which critics and members of the state's Palestinian minority called racist, which it is, likening the legislation to apartheid, which it is. The nation-state law passed by a vote of 62-55 and two abstentions in the 120-member parliament after months of political argument. Following the vote, Palestinian lawmakers shouted and tore up papers. Parliament Speaker Yuli Yoel Edelstein, if I'm saying his name correctly, called on security to eject the Palestinian members of parliament, who led out crying, "You are racist." Very interesting. I mean, it's hard not to see it as that, because that's literally what the law outlines. Now, I recommend you dig into this further, because there's a lot of information in regard to this law specifically. You can come to your own conclusions, but obviously I'm going to read this and give you mine. But this is a touchy subject for a lot of people. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is quoted as saying, "This is a defining moment in the annals of Zionism and the history of the state of Israel." Really just coming right out with it. Right. This is, you know, a tremendous moment for Zionism. Yes, it clearly is, but not tremendous. A horrifying moment for the reality of the people that this is standing against. General Director of the Legal Center for Arab Minority Rights in Israel said, quote, "The law constitutionally enshrines the identity of Israel as the nation state of the Jewish people only, despite the 1.5 million Palestinian citizens of the state and residents of East Jerusalem and the Golan Heights, and guarantees the exclusive ethnic religious character of Israel as Jewish." Sounds pretty racist to me when you realize that there are people that are non-Jewish living in Israel, or really Palestine, occupied Palestine. I mean, think about if a law passed in the United States that made it specifically one. I mean, you know, it's there's so many analogies you could draw, but it's very clearly a racist kind of concept. It's only because in their eyes, it's not wrong. But this won't get discussed anywhere else. Now, as the author notes, the law also gives Hebrew superior status over Arabic, making the former the state's only official language and demoting to the latter to merely a language with a special status. In effect, the nation-state law, which as a basic law holds constitutional power, means Israel's ethno-religious character supersedes its democratic one. Very, very big deal. Very big deal. And I find this to be, this, of course, drown out by all of the Russia-phobia nonsensical statements coming out of the mouths of some of the most ridiculous clown shoe mainstream media narratives out there. These people are just, they are, like I said, parodies of themselves today, screaming that Trump is a traitor while missing what's really going on in the world, or rather intentionally omitting what's actually going on in the world. It's infuriating. It truly is. Especially because people like us that are actually trying to point out what's going on are getting actively suppressed by people like YouTube and the social media groups that actively keep these things down. But very interesting. So this is a story that I highly recommend that you don't just take my word for it. Dig into the information, dig into the actual script of the law itself, and understand what's actually taking place here. And understand what this means for the 1.5 million Palestinians living in this area that this law is cast over. Very, very interesting and very, very dark move for the original and legal occupants of Palestine, occupied Palestine. Frustrating. Let's move on to the next story and the final story of the day, which is not surprising and is something I've been covering since the moment this started happening. And again, scandal with Wells Fargo again, Wells Fargo caught in yet another scandal. I mean, for Christ's sake, this is something that I don't even need to keep making this point. I drill this down every time and I say, just wait. They're going to do it again. You know why? Because even a $1 billion fine means absolutely nothing to them. They shrug it off and they just say, cool, we'll just do it again. If all you're going to do is fine us a little bit of money in comparison to what they make, they'll just do it again, which is exactly what's happening. Now, after doing everything from illegally repossessing the cars of American soldiers to fraudulently cross-selling credit cards and other products to millions of customers and setting up multiple unauthorized accounts in their customers' names, the bank is now being called out for adding opaque products to the accounts of hundreds of thousands of customers for services like pet insurance and legal services without explaining how to use them first. The CFPB is investigating how Wells Fargo collected fees for these so-called add-on products and recently prompted it to refund millions of dollars to its customers. It's just, how low can they go? It's going to continue to happen. It's frustrating. News of the bank's latest scandal comes just days after Wells Fargo took $619 million in charges, $619 million in the second quarter to refund its customers for overcharging in foreign exchange, wealth management, and auto and mortgage lending units. The bank, as I said, also agreed to a $1 billion settlement with the CFPB in April, the largest ever levied by an agency over its failure to manage risks. Of course, the largest ever, but doesn't really mean much when they continue to do the same thing. No one's ever held legally accountable for the mayhem these things consider what would happen if you went out one day and your car was gone, right? These were military veterans this happened to, and your car's taken because they manipulated your account and added something on you were unaware of, gave you some kind of auto insurance or more loan that you weren't even aware you had, and your car disappears. Imagine what that would do to your life. The average American today, drowning in debt, all these fake accounts and foreign exchange rates that you're getting charged for no reason, you're just losing money to this bank that already takes your money and uses it with, you know, if you understand what fractional reserve banking is, taking your money and lending it out 10 times over and making money off that while charging you exorbitant fees for nothing. This is what they continue to do, making billions and billions of dollars and get charged $1 billion, and they shrug it off and they do it again. Now, unsurprisingly, the bank has been aware of these issues for a very long time, as the article outlines, which means even after the $1 billion penalties for illegal actions that basically it would land people like you and I in jail, right? We don't talk about that. They can do it, of course, then big companies get away with it. If we did even a fraction of this, we would be in jail already. But this, even though they just did this, they knowingly allowed this to continue. Knowingly. Now, just think about that. This is such a small aspect of the entirety of the problem with this country today, and just government in general. But the reality of this is what's going on. These are the things that are taking place. Americans are being abused and taken advantage of by the very institutions that they're supposed to be able to trust because of the government that's supposed to protect everybody from these kind of things. While we're being so, because we're so outraged with all these nonsensical, fabricated illusions around us in the two-party divide, we can't see anything actually take place around us that actually deserves our attention. Something just like this. Whether we're talking about Wells Fargo, or we're talking about what's happening with Israel, what's happening in Yemen, due to our support as the Americans, or excuse me, the American government support through our tax dollars. I have such a hard time not saying we. It frustrates me, but I continue to do it. The reality is that they're using our tax dollars to support these groups while demonizing people like Iran and Syria and knowingly fomenting the kind of unrest that we just saw them, quote, creating the protests so they can create the kind of thing they're trying to do in Iran. Now, take a step back for maybe those in the chat right now that are new to this channel and realize that all of this two-party divide nonsense is just so you don't see things like this. So we don't rise up and march through the streets as if that would do anything even more anymore today, but, you know, screaming about why Wells Fargo should be put in jail. The entirety of their staff should be put in jail. Because they are continually, knowingly stealing from you, manipulating the system, shrugging off a $1 billion fine, and they're probably going to do it again as Warren Buffett makes another $1 trillion. This has to get under your skin. And again, it's not just about Wells Fargo. This is a microcosm of a much larger problem. But this is what we should be focusing on. The important stuff, the way that money's printed out of nowhere, the fact that we should just get rid of the Federal Reserve in general, all these important things that might actually change the reality of this country, reinstill Glass-Steagall Act, things that actually deserve our attention. But no, we're talking about Russia, and we're talking about QAnon, and we're talking about things that distract us from the reality of our world. We have to begin to see that. And I'm going to continue to scream about it every single day and hope that, again, we shave off one more person, just one person every day, and we might actually make a difference. Never lose faith in that. Even if we feel like we're losing, we are making a difference every single day. So keep at it. I love all of you. Thank you for tuning in yet again. And I'll make sure and do these as often as possible. And always keep an eye out for my longer, 1 to 2 hour research and review shows that I do at least once a week, where I'll actively interact with the chat because I don't usually have time to do it in this show. Make sure you check us out on Patreon, any other way. Any support you can lend me means the world to me, even just sharing this video. For more information on the topics discussed, make sure you check out thelastamericanvagabond.com as well as our radio station WKUP at www.wkup.live, and as well as any of the independent sources in the show notes below. Always make sure you check out the show notes. I'll include everything I can in there that will give you insight into what we discussed. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.